Among these we must mention Pamphilus, a presbyter, who was the great glory of the parish of Caesarea, and among the men of our time most admirable. The virtue of his manly deeds we have recorded in the proper place. 9. 7. Of those who suffered death illustriously at Alexandria, and throughout Egypt and Thebes, Peter, 10, Bishop of Alexandria, one of the most excellent teachers of the religion of Christ, should first be mentioned, and of the presbyters with him Faustus, 11, Dis and Ammonius, perfect martyrs of Christ also Phyllis, 12, Hesychius, 13, Pachymius and Theodorus, bishops of Egyptian churches, and besides the many other distinguished persons who are commemorated by the parishes of their country and region. It is not for us to describe the conflicts of those who suffered for the divine religion throughout the entire world, and relate accurately what happened to each of them. This would be the proper work of those who were eyewitnesses of the events. I will describe for posterity in another work 14, those which I myself witnessed. 8. But in the present book 15, I will add to what I have given the revocation issued by our persecutors, and those events that occurred at the beginning of the persecution, which will be most profitable to such as shall read them. 9. What words could sufficiently describe the greatness and abundance of the prosperity of the Roman government before the war against us, while the rulers were friendly and peaceable toward us? Then those who were highest in the government, and had held a position 10 or 20 years, passed their time in tranquil peace, in festivals and public games and most joyful pleasures and cheer. 10. While thus their authority was growing uninterruptedly, and increasing day by day, suddenly they changed their peaceful attitude toward us, and began an implacable war. But the second year of this movement was not yet past, when a revolution took place in the entire government, and overturned all things. 11. For a severe sickness came upon the chief of those of whom we have spoken, by which his understanding was distracted, and with him who was honored with the second rank, he retired into private life. 16. Scarcely had he done this, when the entire empire was divided, a thing which is not recorded as having ever occurred before. 17. 12. Not long after, the emperor Constantius, who through his entire life was most kindly and favorably disposed toward his subjects, and most friendly to the divine word, ended his life in the common course of nature, and left his own son, Constantine, as emperor and Augustus in his stead. 18. He was the first that was ranked by them among the gods, and received after death every honor which one could pay to an emperor. 13. He was the kindest and mildest of emperors, and the only one of those of our day, that passed all the time of his government in a manner worthy of his office. Moreover, he conducted himself toward all most favorably and beneficently. He took not the smallest part in the war against us, but preserved the pious that were under him unharmed and unabused. He neither threw down the church buildings, 20, nor did he devise anything else against us. The end of his life was honorable and thrice blessed. He alone at death left his empire happily and gloriously to his own son as his successor, one who was in all respects most prudent and pious. 14. His son Constantine entered on the government at once, being proclaimed supreme emperor and Augustus by the soldiers, and long before by God himself, the king of all. He showed himself an emulator of his father's piety toward our doctrine. Such an one was he. But after this, Licinius was declared emperor and Augustus by a common vote of the rulers. 21, 15. These things grieved Maximinus greatly, for until that time he had been entitled by all only Caesar. He therefore, being exceedingly imperious, seized the dignity for himself, and became Augustus, being made such by himself. 22. In the meantime he whom we have mentioned as having resumed his dignity after his abdication, being detected in conspiring against the life of Constantine, perished by a most shameful death. 23. He was the first whose decrees, and statues and public monuments were destroyed, because of his wickedness and impiety. 24. Chapter 10.IV The Character of the Enemies of Religion. 1. Maxentius his son, who obtained the government at Rome, 1. At first feigned our faith, in complaisance and flattery toward the Roman people. On this account he commanded his subjects to cease persecuting the Christians, pretending to religion, that he might appear merciful and mild beyond his predecessors. 2. But he did not prove in his deeds to be such a person as was hoped, but ran into all wickedness, and abstained from no impurity or licentiousness, committing adulteries and indulging in all kinds of corruption. 4. Having separated wives from their lawful consorts, he abused them, and sent them back most dishonorably to their husbands. And he not only practiced this against the obscure and unknown, but he insulted especially the most prominent and distinguished members of the Roman Senate. 3. All his subjects, people, and rulers, honored and obscure, were worn out by grievous oppression. Neither, although they kept quiet and bore the bitter servitude, was there any relief from the murderous cruelty of the tyrant. Once, on a small pretense, he gave the people, to be slaughtered by his guards, and a great multitude of the Roman populace were slain in the midst of the city, with the spears and arms, not of Scythians and barbarians, but of their own fellow citizens. For it would be impossible to recount the number of senators who were put to death, for the sake of their wealth, multitudes being slain on various pretenses. 5. To crown all his wickedness, the tyrant resorted to magic, and in his divinations he cut open pregnant women, and again inspected the bowels of newborn infants. He slaughtered lions, and performed various execrable acts, to invoke demons and avert war. For his only hope was that, by these means, victory would be secured to him. 6. It is impossible to tell the ways in which this tyrant at Rome oppressed his subjects, so that they were reduced to such an extreme dearth of the necessities of life as has never been known, according to our contemporaries, either at Rome or elsewhere. 7. But Maximinus, the tyrant in the East, having secretly formed a friendly alliance with the Roman tyrant as with a brother in wickedness, sought to conceal it for a long time. But being at last detected, he suffered merited punishment. 2. 8. It was wonderful how akin he was in wickedness to the tyrant at Rome, or rather how far he surpassed him in it. For the chief of sorcerers and magi clans were honored by him with the highest rank. Becoming exceedingly timid and superstitious, he valued greatly the error of idols and demons. Indeed, without soothsayers and oracles he did not venture to move even a finger. 3. So to speak. 9. Therefore he persecuted us more violently and incessantly than his predecessors. He ordered temples to be erected in every city, and the sacred groves which had been destroyed through lapse of time to be speedily restored. He appointed idol priests in every place and city, and he set over them in every province, as high priest, some political official who had especially distinguished himself in every kind of service, giving him a band of soldiers and a bodyguard. And to all jugglers, as if they were pious and beloved of the gods, he granted governments and the greatest privileges. 10. From this time on he distressed and harassed, not one city or country, but all the provinces under his authority, by extreme exactions of gold and silver and goods, and most grievous prosecutions and various fines. He took away from the wealthy the property which they had inherited from their ancestors, and bestowed vast riches and large sums of money on the flatterers about him. 11. And he went to such an excess of folly and drunkenness that his mind was deranged and crazed in his carousals, and he gave commands when intoxicated, of which he repented afterward when sober. He suffered no one to surpass him in debauchery and profligacy, but made himself an instructor in wickedness to those about him, both rulers and subjects. He urged on the army to live wantonly in every kind of revelry and intemperance, and encouraged the governors and generals, who abused their subjects with rapacity and covetousness, almost as if they were rulers with him. 12. Why need we relate the licentious, shameless deeds of the man, or enumerate the multitude with whom he committed adultery? For he could not pass through a city without continually corrupting women and ravishing virgins. 13. And in this, he succeeded with all except the Christians. For as they despised death, they cared nothing for his power. For the men endured fire and sword and crucifixion and wild beasts in the depths of the sea, and cutting off of limbs, and e-burnings, and pricking and digging out of eyes, and mutilations of the entire body, and besides these, hunger and mines and bonds. In all they showed patience in behalf of religion, rather than transfer to idols the reverence due to God. 14. And the women were not less manly than the men in behalf of the teaching of the divine word, as they endured conflicts with the men, and bore away equal prizes of virtue. And when they were dragged away for corrupt purposes, they surrendered their lives to death, rather than their bodies to impurity. 4. 15. One only of those who were seized for adulterous purposes by the tyrant, a most distinguished and illustrious Christian woman in Alexandria, conquered the passionate and intemperate soul of Maximinus by most heroic firmness. Honorable on account of wealth and family and education, she esteemed all of these inferior to chastity. He urged her many times, but although she was ready to die, he could not put her to death, for his desire was stronger than his anger. 16. He therefore punished her with exile, and took away all her property. Many others, unable even to listen to the threats of violation from the heathen rulers, endured every form of tortures, and drackings, and deadly punishment. These indeed should be admired, but far the most admirable was that woman at Rome, who was truly the most noble and modest of all, whom the tyrant Maxentius, fully resembling Maximinus in his actions, endeavored to abuse. 17. For when she learned that those who served the tyrant in such matters were at the house, she also was a Christian, and that her husband, although a prefect of Rome, would suffer them to take and lead her away, having requested a little time for adorning her body, she entered her chamber, and being alone, stabbed herself with a sword, dying immediately. She left her corpse to those who had come for her, and by her deeds, more powerfully than by any words, she has shown to all men now and hereafter, that the virtue which prevails among Christians is the only invincible and indestructible possession. 18. Such was the career of wickedness which was carried forward at one and the same time by the two tyrants, who held the East and the West. Who is there that would hesitate, after careful examination, to pronounce the persecution against us the cause of such evils? Especially since this extreme confusion of affairs did not cease until the Christians had obtained liberty. Chapter 10.V. The events which happened to the heathen. 1. During the entire 10 years too, of the persecution, they were constantly plotting and warring against one another. 3. For the sea could not be navigated, nor could men sail from any port without being exposed to all kinds of outrages, being stretched on the rock, and lacerated in their sides, that it might be ascertained through various tortures, whether they came from the enemy, and finally being subjected to punishment by the cross or by fire. 2. And besides these things, shields and breastplates were preparing, and darts and spears and other warlike accoutrements were making ready, and galleys and naval armor were collecting in every place, and no one expected anything else than to be attacked by enemies any day. In addition to this, famine and pestilence came upon them, in regard to which we shall relate what is necessary in the proper place. 4. Chapter 10.VI. The change of affirms for the better. 1. Such was the state of affairs during the entire persecution. But in the 10th year, through the grace of God, it ceased altogether, having begun to decrease after the 8th year. 1. For when the divine and heavenly grace showed us favorable and propitious oversight, then truly our rulers, and the very persons too, by whom the war against us had been earnestly prosecuted, most remarkably changed their minds, and issued a revocation, and quenched the great fire of persecution which had been kindled, by merciful proclamations and ordinances concerning us too. But this was not due to any human agency, nor was it the result, as one might say, of the compassion or philanthropy of our rulers. Far from it, for daily from the beginning until that time they were devising more and more severe measures against us, and continually inventing outrages by a greater variety of instruments. But it was manifestly due to the oversight of divine providence, on the one hand becoming reconciled to his people, and on the other, attacking him who instigated these evils, and showing anger toward him as the author of the cruelties of the entire persecution. 3. For though it was necessary that these things should take place, according to the divine judgment, yet the word saith, Woe to him through whom the offense cometh. 4. Therefore punishment from God came upon him, beginning with his flesh, and proceeding to his soul. 5. 4. For an abscess suddenly appeared in the midst of the secret parts of his body, and from it a deeply perforated sore, which spread irresistibly into his inmost bowels. An indescribable multitude of worms sprang from them, and a deathly odor arose, as the entire bulk of his body had, through his gluttony, been changed, before his sickness, into an excessive mass of soft fat, which became putrid, and thus presented an awful and intolerable sight to those who came near. 5. Some of the physicians, being wholly unable to endure the exceeding offensiveness of the odor, were slain. Others, as the entire mass had swollen and passed beyond hope of restoration, and they were unable to render any help, were put to death without mercy. Chapter 10.VII. The revocation of the rulers. 1. Wrestling with so many evils, he thought of the cruelties which he had committed against the pious. Turning, therefore, his thoughts toward himself, he first openly confessed to the God of the universe, and then summoning his attendants, he commanded that without delay they should stop the persecution of the Christians, and should by law and royal decree, urge them forward to build their churches and to perform their customary worship, offering prayers in behalf of the emperor. Immediately the deed followed the word. 2. The imperial decrees were published in the cities, containing the revocation of the acts against us in the following form. 3. The emperor Caesar Galerius Valerius Maximinus, Invictus, Augustus, Pontifex Maximus, conqueror of the Germans, conqueror of the Egyptians, conqueror of the Thebans, 5 times conqueror of the Sarmatians, conqueror of the Persians, 2 times conqueror of the Carpathians, 6 times conqueror of the Armenians, conqueror of the Medes, conqueror of the Idobini, tribune of the people the 20th time, emperor the 19th time, consul the 8th time, father of his country, proconsul 4, and the emperor Caesar Flavius Valerius Constantinus, Pince, Felix, Invictus, Augustus, Pontifex Maximus, tribune of the people, emperor the 5th time, consul, father of his country, proconsul 5, and the emperor Caesar Valerius Licinius, Pince, Felix, Invictus, Augustus, Pontifex Maximus, tribune of the people the 4th time, emperor the 3rd time, consul, father of his country, proconsul to the people of their provinces, greeting 1. 6. Among the other things which we have ordained for the public advantage and profit, we formally wish to restore everything to conformity with the ancient laws and public discipline too, of the Romans, and to provide, that the Christians also, who have forsaken the religion of their ancestors, 3, should return to a good disposition, 7, or in some way such arrogance had seized them, and such stupidity had overtaken them, that they did not follow the ancient institutions which possibly their own ancestors had formerly established, but made for themselves laws according to their own purpose, as each one desired, and observed them, and thus assembled as separate congregations in various places. 8. When we had issued this decree, that they should return to the institutions established by the ancients, 4. A great many, 5, submitted under danger, but a great being harassed endured all kinds of death. 6, 9. And since many continue in the same folly, 7, and we perceive, that they neither offer to the heavenly gods the worship which is due, nor pay regard to the God of the Christians, in consideration of our philanthropy and our invariable custom, by which we are wont to extend pardon to all, we have determined, that we ought most cheerfully, to extend our indulgence in this matter also, that they may again be Christians, and may rebuild the conventicles in which they were accustomed to assemble. 8. On condition that nothing be done by them contrary to discipline. 9. In another letter we shall indicate to the magistrates what they have to observe. 10. Wherefore, on account of this indulgence of ours, they ought to supplicate their God for our safety, and that of the people, and their own, that the public welfare may be preserved in every place. 10. And that they may live securely in their several homes. Such is the tenor of this edict, translated, as well as possible, from the Roman tongue into the Greek. It is time to consider what took place after these events. That which follows, is found in some copies in the 8th book. 1. 1. The author of the edict very shortly after this confession was released from his pains and died. He is reported to have been the original author of the misery of the persecution, having endeavored, long before the movement of the other emperors, to turn from the faith the Christians in the army, and first of all those in his own house, degrading some from the military rank, and abusing others most shamefully, and threatening still others with death, and finally inciting his partners in the empire to the general persecution. It is not proper to pass over the death of these emperors in silence. 2. As 4 of them held the supreme authority, those who were advanced in age and honor, after the persecution had continued not quite 2 years, abdicated the government, as we have already stated, 2, and passed the remainder of their lives in a common and private station. 3. The end of their lives 3 was as follows. He who was first in honor and age perished through a long and most grievous physical infirmity. 3. He who held the second place ended his life by strangling. 4. Thus according to a certain demoniacal prediction, on account of his many daring crimes. 4. Of those after them, the last, 5, of whom we have spoken as the originator of the entire persecution, suffered such things as we have related. But he who preceded him, the most merciful and kindly Emperor Constantius, 6, passed all the time of his government in a manner worthy of his office. 6, moreover, he conducted himself towards almost favorably and beneficently. He took not the smallest part in the war against us, and preserved the pious that were under him unharmed and unabused. Neither did he throw down the church buildings, nor devise anything else against us. The end of his life was happy and thrice blessed. He alone at death left his empire happily and gloriously to his own son 7, as his successor, one who was in all respects most prudent and pious. He entered on the government at once, being proclaimed supreme emperor and Augustus by the soldiers 5, and he showed himself an emulator of his father's piety toward our doctrine. Such were the deaths of the 4 of whom we have written, which took place at different times. 6. Of these, moreover, only the one referred to a little above by us, with those who afterward shared in the government, finally published openly to all the above-mentioned confession, in the written edict which he issued. Martyrs of Palestine 1. The following also we found in a certain copy in the 8th book. 2. It was in the 19th year of the reign of Diocletian, in the month Xanthicus, 3, which is called April by the Romans, about the time of the feast of our Savior's Passion, while Flavianus 4, was governor of the province of Palestine, that letters were published everywhere, commanding that the churches be leveled to the ground and the scriptures be destroyed by fire, and ordering that those who held places of honor be degraded, and that the household servants, if they persisted in the profession of Christianity, be deprived of freedom. Such was the force of the first edict against us. But not long after other letters were issued, commanding that all the bishops of the churches everywhere be first thrown into prison, and afterward, by every artifice, be compelled to sacrifice. Chapter 1. 1. The first of the martyrs of Palestine was Procopius, 1, who, before he had received the trial of imprisonment, immediately on his first appearance before the governor's tribunal, having been ordered to sacrifice to the so-called gods, declared that he knew only one to whom it was proper to sacrifice, as he himself wills. But when he was commanded to offer libations to the 4 emperors, having quoted a sentence which displeased them, he was immediately beheaded. The quotation was from the poet. The rule of many is not good, let there be one ruler and one king. 2. 2. It was the 7th day of the month Decius, 4, the 7th before the Ides of June, 5, as the Romans reckon, and the 4th day of the week, when this first example was given at Caesarea in Palestine. 3. Afterwards, 6, in the same city, many rulers of the country churches readily endured terrible sufferings, and furnished to the beholders an example of noble conflicts. But others, benumbed in spirit by terror, were easily weakened at the first onset of the rest. Each one endured different forms of torture, as scourgings without number, and rackings, and tearings of their sides, and insupportable fetters, by which the hands of some were dislocated. Or yet they endured what came upon them, as in accordance with the inscrutable purposes of God. For the hands of one were seized, and he was led to the altar, while they thrust into his right hand the polluted and abominable offering, and he was dismissed, as if he had sacrificed. Another had not even touched it. Yet when others said that he had sacrificed, he went away in silence. Another, being taken up half dead, was cast aside, as if already dead, and released from his bonds, and counted among the sacrificers. When another cried out, and testified that he would not obey, he was struck in the mouth, and silenced by a large band of those who were drawn up for this purpose, and driven away by force, even though he had not sacrificed. Of such consequence did they consider it, to seem by any means, to have accomplished their purpose. 5. Therefore, of all this number, the only ones who were honored with the crown of the holy martyrs were Alphaeus and Zacchaeus. 7. After stripes and scrapings and severe bonds and additional tortures and various other trials, and after having their feet stretched for a night and day over four holes in the stocks. 8. On the 17th day of the month Dis, 9, that is, according to the Romans, the 15th before the calends of December, having confessed one only God and Christ Jesus as King. 10. As if they had uttered some blasphemy, they were beheaded like the former martyr. Chapter 2. 1. What occurred to Romanus on the same day 1, at Antioch, is also worthy of record, for he was a native of Palestine, a deacon and exorcist in the parish of Caesarea, and being present at the destruction of the churches, he beheld many men, with women and children, going up in crowds to the idols and sacrificing. 2. But, through his great zeal for religion, he could not endure the sight, and rebuked them with a loud voice. 2. Being arrested for his boldness, he proved a most noble witness of the truth, if there ever was one. For when the judge informed him that he was to die by fire, 3, he received the sentence with cheerful countenance and most ready mind, and was led away. When he was bound to the stake, and the wood piled up round him, as they were awaiting the arrival of the emperor, before lighting the fire, he cried, "Where is the fire for me?" 3. Having said this, he was summoned again before the emperor. 4. And subjected to the unusual torture of having his tongue cut out. But he endured this with fortitude, and showed to all by his deeds, that the divine power is present with those who endure any hardship whatever, for the sake of religion, lightening their sufferings, and strengthening their zeal. When he learned of this strange mode of punishment, the nobleman was not terrified, but put out his tongue readily, and offered it with the greatest alacrity to those who cut it off. 4. After this punishment he was thrown into prison, and suffered there for a very long time. At last the 20th anniversary of the emperor being near, 5, when, according to an established gracious custom, liberty was proclaimed everywhere to all who were in bonds, he alone had both his feet stretched over five holes in the stocks. 6. And while he lay there was strangled, and was thus honored with martyrdom, as he desired. 5. Although he was outside of his country, yet, as he was a native of Palestine, it is proper to count him among the Palestinian martyrs. These things occurred in this manner during the first year, when the persecution was directed only against the rulers of the church. Chapter 3. 1. Point in the course of the second year, the persecution against us increased greatly, and at that time Urbanus I, being governor of the province, imperial edicts were first issued to him, commanding by a general decree that all the people should sacrifice at once in the different cities, and offer libations to the idols. 2. In Gaza, a city of Palestine, Timotheus endured countless tortures, and afterwards was subjected to a slow and moderate fire, having given, by his patience in all his sufferings, most genuine evidence of sincerest piety toward the deity. He bore away the crown of the victorious athletes of religion. At the same time Agapius III, and our contemporary, Thecla, 4, having exhibited most noble constancy, were condemned as food for the wild beasts. 2. But who that beheld these things would not have admired, or if they heard of them by report, would not have been astonished. For when the heathen everywhere were holding a festival and the customary shows, it was noised abroad that besides the other entertainments, the public combat of those who had lately been condemned to wild beasts would also take place. 3. As this report increased, and spread in all directions, 6 young men, namely, Timolaus, a native of Pontus, Dionysius from Tripolis in Phoenicia, Romulus, a subdeacon of the parish of Diospolis, 5, Parasus and Alexander, both Egyptians, and another Alexander from Gaza, having first bound their own hands, went in haste to Urbanus, who was about to open the exhibition, evidencing great zeal for martyrdom. They confessed that they were Christians, and by their ambition for all terrible things, showed that those who glory in the religion of the God of the universe do not cower before the attacks of wild beasts. For immediately, after creating no ordinary astonishment in the governor and those who were with him, they were cast into prison. After a few days two others were added to them. One of them, named Agapius, 6, had in former confessions endured dreadful torments of various kinds. The other, who had supplied them with the necessaries of life, was called Dionysius. All of these 8 were beheaded on one day at Caesarea, on the 24th day of the month Distress, 7, which is the 9th before the calends of April. 5. Meanwhile, a change in the emperors occurred, and the first of them all in dignity, and the second retired into private life. 8. And public affairs began to be troubled. 6. Shortly after the Roman government became divided against itself, and a cruel war arose among them. 9. And this division, with the troubles which grew out of it, was not settled until peace toward us had been established throughout the entire Roman Empire. 7. For when this peace arose for all, as the daylight after the darkest and most gloomy night, the public affairs of the Roman government were re-established, and became happy and peaceful, and the ancestral goodwill toward each other was revived. But we will relate these things more fully at the proper time. Now let us return to the regular course of events. Chapter 4. 1. Maximinus Caesar 1, having come at that time into the government, as if to manifest to all the evidences of his reborn enmity against God, and of his impiety, armed himself for persecution against us more vigorously than his predecessors. 2. In consequence, no little confusion arose among all, and they scattered here and there, endeavoring in some way to escape the danger, and there was great commotion everywhere. But what words would suffice for a suitable description of the divine love and boldness, in confessing God, of the blessed and truly innocent Lamb? I refer to the martyr Afinius, too, who presented in the sight of all, before the gates of Caesarea, a wonderful example of piety toward the only God. 3. He was at that time not 20 years old. He had first spent a long time at Berytus. 3. For the sake of a secular Grecian education, as he belonged to a very wealthy family. It is wonderful to relate how, in such a city, he was superior to youthful passions, and clung to virtue, uncorrupted neither by his bodily vigor nor his young companions, living discreetly, soberly, and piously, in accordance with his profession of the Christian doctrine and the life of his teachers. Or if it is needful to mention his native country, and give honor to it as producing this noble athlete of piety, we will do so with pleasure. 5. The young man came from Pagae. 4. If anyone is acquainted with the place, a city in Lycia of no mean importance. After his return from his course of study in Berytus, though his father held the first place in his country, he could not bear to live with him and his relatives, as it did not please them to live according to the rules of religion. Therefore, as if he were led by the divine spirit, and in accordance with a natural, or rather an inspired and true philosophy, regarding this preferable to what is considered the glory of life, and despising bodily comforts, he secretly left his family. And because of his faith and hope in God, paying no attention to his daily needs, he was led by the divine spirit to the city of Caesarea, where was prepared for him the crown of martyrdom for piety. 6. Abiding with us there, and conferring with us in the divine scriptures diligently for a short time, and fitting himself zealously by suitable exercises, he exhibited such an end as would astonish anyone should it be seen again. 7. Who, that hears of it, would not justly admire his courage, boldness, constancy, and even more than these the daring deed itself, which evidenced a zeal for religion and a spirit truly superhuman. 8. Or in the second attack upon us under Maximinus, in the 3rd year of the persecution, edicts of the tyrant were issued for the first time, commanding that the rulers of the cities should diligently and speedily see to it that all the people offered sacrifices. 5. Throughout the city of Caesarea, by command of the governor, the heralds were summoning men, women, and children to the temples of the idols, and besides this, the chaliarchs were calling out each one by name from a roll, and an immense crowd of the wicked were rushing together from all quarters. Then this youth fearlessly, while no one was aware of his intentions, eluded both us who lived in the house with him, and the whole band of soldiers that surrounded the governor, and rushed up to Urbanus as he was offering libations, and fearlessly seizing him by the right hand, straightway put a stop to his sacrificing, and skillfully and persuasively, with a certain divine inspiration, exhorted him to abandon his delusion, because it was not well to forsake the one and only true God, and sacrifice to idols and demons. 9. It is probable that this was done by the youth through a divine power, which led him forward, and which all but cried aloud in his act, that Christians, who were truly such, were so far from abandoning the religion of the God of the universe which they had once espoused, that they were not only superior to threats and the punishments which followed, but yet bolder to speak with noble and untrammeled tongue, and, if possible, to summon even their persecutors to turn from their ignorance, and acknowledge the only true God. 10. Thereupon, he of whom we are speaking, and that instantly, as might have been expected after so bold a deed, was torn by the governor and those who were with him, as if by wild beasts. And having endured manfully innumerable blows over his entire body, he was straightway cast into prison. 11. There he was stretched by the tormentor with both his feet in the stocks for a night and a day, and the next day he was brought before the judge. As they endeavored to force him to surrender, he exhibited all constancy under suffering and terrible tortures.